This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And welcome, welcome one and all to the Bad Ideas Gauntlet, where we try to find the worst ideas in the internet and then turn them into good stories in just 10 very short minutes. Zach, Sarah, how are you both doing today?
Awesome.
There was like the pregnant pause before the awesome. I was also going to say awesome. So I think awesome with a grain of salt is how we're doing.
just an awesome asterisk day here in, you know,
exactly
the gray, this gray morning in October here in New York State.
I know. I'm really your sleepy time host, Sarah Shackett. but this is good for me because I have the first idea, so we can all wake up.
Hit us with that jolt of caffeine. What are we doing today?
Oh boy, this will open your eyes. So the first idea I found is from The Verge.
Okay.
Usually I go to their TLDR section where they just have sort of like fun things, but this is from their robot section.
So not their fun things section.
No. And the headline says it all. So I'll read that first. And dear listeners, if you would like to read along and look at the pictures, the link will be in the episode description. So our Verge headline reads, "They're putting guns on robot dogs now."
That was a matter of fucking time. God,
that's
damn it.
That's the subheadline. It was only
that's
a matter of time.
Hysterical. From the second I saw that spot, motherfucker, I was like, how long before these things are armed?
You know, this over the course of this weekend, I saw a conspicuous uptick in my Twitter feed of people sharing videos that were like, just in case you ever need it, here's how you can disable one of those like robot dogs. And I was just like, I wonder what happened to make like this suddenly be trending the way that it is. Okay. And now I know.
Now you know, because this article is from the 14th.
Also, whatever they were saying on Twitter, God help us if they're like still usable strategies now that they are shared on Twitter, where the company can see them.
Right.
I mean, the nice thing about, I also found this via a thread on Twitter, but it was from an engineer who works with like large farming corporations and is like, these machines are still useless because they're designed by people who don't understand how dirt works. So there may be hope for us all yet. Like we can't use them to pick through because they all have like very complicated sensors that can't get wet. So let me read the article for you and we can continue spitballing. So quadrupedal robots are one of the most interesting, that is a word, developments in robotics in recent years. They're small, nimble, and able to traverse environments that frustrate wheeled machines. So, of course, it was only a matter of time until someone put a gun on one. The image above shows a quadrupedal robot, a Vision 60 unit built by U.S. firm Ghost Robotics that's been equipped with a custom gun by small arms specialist Sword International. These are real companies. It seems the gun itself...
stupid companies from the sound of it.
The gun itself is dubbed Spur, or Special Purpose Unmanned Rifle, designed to be fitted onto a variety of robotic platforms. It has a 30x optical zoom, thermal camera for targeting in the dark, and an effective range of 1,200 meters. What's not clear is whether or not Sword International or Ghost Robotics are currently selling this combination of gun and robot. But if they're not, seems they will be soon. As the marketing copy on Sword's website boasts, the Sword Defense System Spur is the future of unmanned weapon systems, and that future is now.
Shaking my head. Wow. Yeah.
The article goes into a little bit more context about where this spur system debuted, and sort of the history of quadrupedal robots with the U.S. military. But I think, like, the
terrible phrase, Sarah.
It's just bad. Everything about this is bad. But the interesting thing that stuck out to me comes a few paragraphs down. Boston Dynamics, which is the better known manufacturer of quadrupedal robots and the makers of Spot, has a strict policy against weaponizing its machines. Other manufacturers, however, aren't so picky. After all, plenty of companies sell uncrewed gun platforms that use tank treads or wheels, so adding the same basic kick to legged machines isn't that much of a stretch. The bigger question is how these robots will be deployed in the future and what level of oversight will be required when they start firing lethal rounds at humans. For a while now, experts have been warning that the slow rise in the use of killer robots, known as lethal autonomous weapon system, or LAWS in official jargon.
God damn it.
An official U.S. policy does not prohibit their development or deployment. Many groups are campaigning for a preemptive ban on such systems. But in the meantime, it seems that companies will continue to build what is possible. And that means putting guns on robot dogs. So that's the idea I brought to you. And it's just terrible. So... good morning,
good morning. I have a quick commentary before the clock starts running.
Oh, of course. Go for it.
So I don't know if either one of you is, like I am, a fan of the Metroidvania style of video games.
Yes.
But the week before last, Metroid just released their new game, Metroid Dread. Mm-hmm. The premise, or like a large part of the premise of which, is that like the protagonist is in this like abandoned military base compound where she is being stalked by these incredibly adaptive, incredibly hard to kill quadrupedal robot machines that cannot easily be destroyed, and they stalk you through the corridors, and like they have incredible mobility. So I'm just gonna say it, Nintendo's immersive, like, you know, viral marketing campaign budget is completely out of control if they have now been able to make this happen 1 week later for us to all feel like we're living that video game instead of just playing it.
Oh, man. See, I don't expect that of Nintendo. If it was PlayStation, I would be like, yeah. No,
if it was Konami, this would be 100% what they would be doing.
Yeah. Well, let me put 10 minutes on the timer so that you can 100% figure out what you are doing.
So, no. So, like, it's one of these, like... I think that like the story is clear, and I think that, you know, this is a movie that should be made, and I think it should be made ahead of the issue. But it's the trial movie. Like, you know, it's like the brother of the first person that is killed by one of these robot things looking for a lawyer to try to like sue. I don't know if it's the military or I don't know if it's a company, but like it's kind of like the lawyer and the client in the case that is going to define and codify murder by robot as a like legal standard in the United States.
Yeah, I think and it's either got to be like full polemic, in which case it is probably against the U.S. military. And these are, you know, someone in the U.S. who has like their entire family in a foreign country is wiped out by, well, we could keep it in the U.S., but like is wiped out by a platoon of these robot dogs, or it's these tools are being used by private companies and someone just ends up in the wrong place, in which case you are suing Jeff Bezos.
Right. And yeah, and if it's the latter, I can see it very much as like, you know, look, it's, you know, it would be the self-driving car argument of like, look, like human guards are, they're distracted, they make mistakes, they're like, you know, like their aim isn't perfect. This is a thing that is like, you know, it has like a way better reaction time, it has way better senses, it will always aim non-lethally, like, you know, it's a one in a hundred.
is there, then it's working at 100% capacity.
Right. And it's only a 1 in 100,000 freak case.
Exactly.
Where it would shoot to kill someone explicitly in a situation where by doing that, it would save other people's lives. Mm-hmm. That is the only case in which this would happen. Say the people that make a lot of money by selling these things to companies that want guard dogs, which I guess could be the title of the movie.
Guard dogs.
I was thinking it has to be called like obey the laws or something. Like just that the idea of this death machine being called laws is
one more time. What did that stand for?
Oh my gosh, let me pull it back up. So it stands for lethal autonomous weapon systems or laws. There's just no self-awareness.
No,
like none. I think like
it's
zero.
Just, I think the title of the movie is just laws. That's too good to pass up.
It's too good. And by good I mean bad.
Right. And so how dark are we trying to go here?
I mean, it depends. Because, you know, like there's kind of like the hopeful ending of this movie. And then there's kind of the real dark.
I mean, for the premise, because if we want to keep it domestically,
gonna be dark.
If we want to keep it domestic, I think that it is something like this. Like I see like two immediate options inspired by like recent events and events yet to come. And the recent events, I remember in New York City, there was a lot of blowback on the NYPD for, among other reasons, rolling out Spot, one of these quadrupedal dog things, to check out a scene where somebody had called in a disturbance so that officers theoretically wouldn't get hurt. And people wouldn't be exposed to scared people with guns, which, you know, might result in less death. But obviously, it left a terrible taste to see such a creepy thing that looks so just, you know, dystopianly, what's the word, authoritarian, just like crawling into, affordable housing.
At the end of the day, it's just not a good look.
Yeah.
No. No, these things don't look friendly.
So I'm just imagining if during like protests in a not too distant future, instead of rolling out the human guards, you roll out the robot guards and you just need one to malfunction for something horrible to happen. So that's like darkest timeline number one. Darkest timeline number two is in an era of like even more extreme inequality, like in the slightly more distant future than that first possibility. And this may be cribbing a little bit from Black Mirror episode, but just the idea of like,
Zach, are you for the first time in Ideas history basing something on something else?
We have never done that, sir.
And we never will again.
Never will. No, but go.
So just away. The idea of like while most of America starves, there is everywhere that there are those starving people, Amazon warehouses or, you know, like fake Amazon, whatever. Famazon. Yeah. Because it's all in the fam.
I hate it so much. Wow.
Except it's not at all in the fam. And that's why actual families are trying to break into said warehouses to feed themselves and clothe themselves, etc. And of course, the distributed security system are these horrible gun-toting dogs have the directive to, like, to quote our president, shoot him in the knees or something. Obviously problems ensue.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that the determining factor here is the movie set in like 2025 or in like 2130? Like, you know, is it like five minutes into the future or is it 100 years into the future? And I think that both are very, very viable options.
Right. It sounded like you were going for the 5 years in the future and that it's like to make it the case, the defining like court battle.
Yeah, I think that if it's the one that is like 100 years into the future, which I'm also here for, then I think that it's much more of a like at that point, I don't think that it's fought in the like court system. I think that that one would be a little bit more of the like, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But I think both are very, very viable options.
We have about 3 minutes to choose.
So focusing on the court one, let's have it be sort of like, remember Kent State?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Let's,
like, I feel like this is the robot dog Kent State.
Right. Like, you know, like there was some sort of, not necessarily a protest, but like some kind of like big event with like lots and lots of people.
Yeah.
The robot units, the R9 units, I guess you would call them, are deployed. And it is just kind of like a situation where they've never had to account for like these many things at once. Somebody gets so badly hurt that they end up dying. And they're, I guess it would have to be their, like, you know, like very, very poor either brother or significant other or whoever.
Or parents or whoever.
Is like trying, it like has to go and like find the lawyer that is like, I guess, crazy enough to want to take on this case. And like,
yeah, where,
you know,
there's
like,
no case law about it at all.
I see it differently. I see it more like Aaron Brockovich, because I am imagining this gets fucking televised if it's in the US, like the Tiananmen Square incident. Except unlike Tiananmen Square, where there was a human in the tank that would like not roll over a person because empathy, this thing just, you know, it's like, it's a much shorter video because it's a goddamn
crunches,
robot dog.
It crunches the numbers.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, look, like, I get that I'm not supposed to do this, but like, I am going to save so many other lives by just going ahead. So boom.
Right. And the 1% chance that there would be an artery where there typically is no artery, like, is just part of the math.
Right. Like, so, we find that possibility mathematically acceptable. Like, that is within parameters.
And so, like, Aaron Brockovich equivalent is like watching this on YouTube being like, I like have been trying to warn Congress about these fucking robot dogs this entire time. And like, I need to now fucking like, get a scrape together a plane ticket to visit this family's parents and convince them that I'm their person.
No, I actually think you're right, Zach. This is a better angle. And the thing about it is, this is actually not the first person to die from these robot dogs.
This is,
but there's
just
something
the first
about
time.
This one that is like, it's an American citizen, or there's something about it when all of a sudden it's like, now we have a case.
Like, no, I like that this is the first American citizen.
Yeah, like every other time there was something about it where it was like very easy to just kind of be like, oh, we don't care about that because of X thing. And this is the one where, like, as soon as Julia Roberts sees it on TV, they're like, holy shit, this is what we've been waiting for, to like really put a dent in the robot dog industrial complex. Ooh. And again, and like, for whoever is listening, this movie should come out before this happens. Like, we should,
please,
this movie
God.
Should be made, and like, we should be thinking about this like ahead of the curve. Like, this should not be like an after the fact movie.
That's time.
All right. I'm glad that I got that in at the last part.
Well, I mean, you know, now all we have to do is make it, guys. I like this.
Here
we can have Julia Roberts play an elder lawyer at the firm who's like firm and but fair, is skeptical, but does support whoever the lead is.
Sure. Right.
I'm
like
here
kind
for
of
it.
That kind of that, like, if you're gonna do this, like, do it right and win. Like, you know, like, I don't want you wasting your time, but like, if you really got it, just be sure you got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
Laws. She doesn't have to do like an elder statesman type role. I'm distracting from the fact of laws, which is just,
yeah, that's
on,
chilling.
Guys.
Obey the laws. This just all smacks of RoboCop. Like, we've been here before
a little bit. Yeah,
we've been. Yeah, again, science fiction. We've tried.
They've been warning you for so long.
Not an advertisement. And
and yet it keeps feeling like one. Well, I guess we will go watch some advertisements for robots and be back.
Hello there, Zach Valenti jumping into this episode with this brief reminder that we have an active Patreon page to support the production of No Bad Ideas and all the other crazy worlds we're building behind the scenes. To check that out, scope the sweet rewards we offer for monthly subscriptions, as well as how to sign up yourself. head on over to nobadideaspodcast.com/support. Once more, that's nobadideaspodcast.com/support. If you already support the show, we so appreciate that. And regardless, thank you for listening. All right, let's get back to more No Bad Ideas.
All right. Now that we have stared into the abyss of...
Now that we're awake, now that we're warmed up, as we were saying before the last idea.
That's right. Let me bring you back to the quotidian, the everyday, the coworker situation via our favorite dark, dark, stinky portal, r/IamTheAsshole.
Nice.
Favorite terrible idea generator.
Excellent.
Am I the asshole wanting my friend to stop pretending I am her husband?
Okay.
I have questions. Yeah,
I want to know more. I hope that this may be one of those am I the asshole where at the end of it, you're kind of like, no, I think that I'm with you. But it also might be one of those like, it's like, no, so you definitely are
it's
the
short,
asshole.
So it's let's sweet. See. Let's see. I think it's not safe for work. And here we go. The writer of this being a 28-year-old male, co-worker and friend Amber, 26-year-old female, usually go on work trips alone and spend the night on different cities and hotels. Our friendship is purely platonic, and we never did anything sexual or romantic at all. I have a girlfriend, 27 female, but Amber is single and always have casual sex with guys she meets on our trips. Our routine is that after we end our work for the day, we go to a bar or something along those lines so she can find some men.
Mm-hmm.
She likes me being there to, quote, protect her when she is hunting. But there has never been a problem that required me to intervene.
Okay. So far, so good.
One morning, she told me something new. Apparently, the man she had sex with the night before thought that I was her husband or boyfriend, and she didn't correct him. She liked the idea of the men that she was doing, thinking I was her, quote, cuckold, and wanted to do more of that. I didn't say anything because I thought she was joking. Then that night, when a waitress came to take our drink order on the bar, she referred to me as her husband. I was shocked, but didn't say anything. Later, she left with a man, and I saw the waitress looking at me and smiling. Next day, I told Amber never to do that again because I have a girlfriend. But she said that she already asked my girlfriend about this and she was okay.
That's phenomenal.
I told her that she still shouldn't do it. She told me I was crazy and we argued more. Am I the asshole?
No, you're not. Like, OP. Like, no, you know, you're fine. Like, and this is one of these things where, like, look, like...
Amber needs a reality show, but you are not the asshole.
Like, you know, like, okay, like, maybe, like, we could talk about, like, the ethics of this, but this is one of these things where, like, at the end of the day, it's your call on whether your friend can do this, and nobody should take that away from you. Boy.
And with that, I start a 10-minute timer, and yes, Reddit agrees, this... gentleman is indeed not the asshole.
Amber is the asshole here, I think. Okay, so I mean, so like the most basic, I think, like way to attack this is the like romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, there's someone who, and I kind of like keeping the genders the way that they are in the original article, but then the protagonist would probably be Amber, where it's like, you know, there's someone who has never had like much success in romance and like really, really would like to have like, you know, to be better with the people that they are attracted to, but hasn't had much luck. And they keep sort of like going out and like going on bad dates and trying to like, you know, pick up people, but it doesn't work out.
Yeah, I think it has to be very unsuccessful, unlike the original story.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like 0% success rate.
Yeah.
And they do have this friend who is platonic, but the friend is like very gorgeous and attractive and kind of looks like kind of gives off this like very like successful yuppie sort of vibe. And then for like whatever reason, one day, like, you know, through a misunderstanding, somebody thinks that this guy is married to our protagonist, and the protagonist is about to correct them when all of a sudden it's like, so do you want to go back to my place? Or, and she's like, wait a minute. And so now it's kind of is like, you know, like dating through the lens of like fake infidelity.
Right.
And I guess yes, I think this is the correct setup. And I think we do need to nail down kind of why the success rate jumps. Is it that the OP is in fact an asshole and lots of people would like to spite him by hooking up with his quote unquote wife? Is it that, you know, she suddenly becomes more confident when she is in a default relationship that even if it's fake, like, how are we thinking this works?
So I think that like the eventual real reason is to be determined, like, and to be debated. I think that the reason why the protagonist would think it works is kind of that like weird idea of like, I am hot by association. Like, you know, like if guy is married to me, then people are going to see, are going to be and be like, what do they have that...
No, they're suddenly more desirable because they are desired by a high status person.
Right. And I think that is why the protagonist thinks that it works. Mm-hmm. Like that is kind of like their base premise for it. Why it actually works, I don't know. And like, it's kind of one of these, like much like the last idea, it kind of depends on how dark we're going. Because if it's a very dark one, it is that she is, it happens to be friends with like the universe's, I need someone with a 0% approval rating, like someone really, really horrible that everybody hates. And then, yeah, it's all the spite kick. But if it isn't the darkest universe, then it is much more of, I think, just the like, you know, she's chilling out a little bit. She's like looking, you know, she's kind of like not approaching it with this level of like very desperate neediness, I suppose.
So I think it depends on the configuration of potential lovers, in the sense of there's a world where it's what, like they meet one person and it's just an intense love affair with one person who just is, cause sort of fetishizes infidelity, and is attracted to this particular individual. And then the other track is like they feel they get the sort of confidence, like to make a Harry Potter analogy, like the fake marriage becomes their Felix Felices for like going out and dating. Like they just feel super lucky with like a ring on and like a bunch of fake photos that they eventually Photoshop of their life together with this friend.
My question is this dude who is being the fake cuckold, does he actually have an ex that this person runs into while pretending to be married to him?
That would be funny.
Right? But I don't know if it's pushing too much.
I like the idea that the person is, I don't know about dumb as bricks, but just has no clue. And like, even when presented with like seeds, like just like has just no idea. Like this is all happening behind their back.
Oh yeah. And I think that like the aspect of like the friend trying to get them to stop is not the main driving dynamic of this at all. Like they either don't know, or if they do know, it's kind of a like, oh, are we really doing this? But it's kind of played for laughs. It is not like the big thing.
No, she needs to decide that it's wrong. Like that's the growth arc of the movie.
So did you have like, I guess in the event where an ex shows up who knows better, I guess, was there more in that direction?
I mean, it's Sarah, you can play it for comedy, or this is where you get like, you know, the super murdery and it takes a turn.
Or does it get like hitchy where like the ex teaches the person like how to be a better dater, and then they end up actually getting involved with the person they're pretending to be dating?
So here's my pitch on how that configuration would actually go down. So, you know, she hooks up with one dude under the auspices of infidelity. great one night stand, hooks up with another dude, great one night stand, hooks up with the third dude, great one night stand. The fourth dude is all of a sudden now kind of like, oh no, I like this guy. I really want to keep dating this person.
Mm-hmm.
And
but I'm fake married.
But I'm fake married. So I'm going to figure that out. But then it comes out that like this new partner is very good friends with an ex of the guy that she is pretending to be married to, who hasn't talked to him for like 7 years. So it would be sort of one of these things that's like, oh, wow, like the two of you actually got together and got married. And now all of a sudden, because there is this new person that has come into the orbit that knows the world, the lie has to spread. Like all of a sudden, yeah, it is like we need to do the home over to like make it look like we are married. And we need to be like calling people and be like, hey, look, if Shannon says anything, like, you know, wacky Shannon, you know how she is, just like do us a favor and go with it. Like it is one of these things where like this ex has to somehow be tied to the guy that she does want to keep.
Are marriage records public?
Yes. I believe so. Like you can, there's registries. You can look up when people were married.
All right. Somewhere in this movie, there is the dark web reel where they figure out like how to get a fake marriage certificate into the folder in time for whoever is going
to
check it.
Well, it would also be one of those like they would need to do something to make them suspicious enough to want to check it.
Yeah, and no, there'd have to be a slip up. Mm-hmm. In order for that to work out.
Yeah, I think that's
because I like the ex being like super far removed, but knowing the new boyfriend. And so there's always the danger of like,
sorry, go
the
ahead.
The closer that they get, the more likely it is that we're just gonna call him Greg. We'll tell Shannon about who he's dating and about why it's complicated.
And you know, what's the problem that like, if Greg tells Shannon that like, you know, this guy's wife is cheating on him, then Shannon is going to be like, oh no. And she might be like, hey, like, let me restart things with like this ex, like his wife's already cheating on him. This marriage is in the toilet. And the poor original friend is like, no, I was so happy to be done with that relationship. Like, I don't want any of this all over again. I'm not getting sucked back into that. And the like protagonist has to kind of be like, please just deal with her for like, you know, like a little bit longer. I'm figuring this out.
In the 30 seconds left, how does it end and what is it called?
Does it end with like a Philadelphia style wedding swap?
It probably
does. Philadelphia story.
Yeah. No, yeah. It like probably does kind of end with that like screwball style. Like, you know, everybody goes, gets fake divorces so that everyone can get married to the right people. Yeah.
Can get real married, married for real. Love it.
Yeah. I have no idea what it's called, Zach. Oh my God. Like, some kind of joke about,
yeah, some sort of infidelity joke that I cannot make right now.
Like to have and to hold or something like that. I don't know. But that's already a movie that exists.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I don't know.
And that's time.
Oof. We'll have to dwell.
Like all the good things are kind of already taken. Like, you know, like unfaithfully yours or something. Like, you know,
Right.
I don't know. We'll come back to it.
Yeah, It's Complicated is already a movie title. It's just unfair.
Well, I'm delighted with what you guys have done with this weird, weird coworker story. And my heart goes out to both of these people. Because there's nothing wrong with a cuckold fantasy. Just find a consenting person to do it with.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah, you just gotta get it straightened out.
Yep. Everyone just needs to be cool.
Get your shit together, Amber. And stop wingmanning for her, bro.
Yeah, bro. Actually, you need to stop doing that. Skip the bar, my man.
Well, we are going to go work on our home bar so we don't have to deal with any of this. And
that's right.
We'll be back with some fresh bad ideas next week. This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabriel Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, Jeffrey Felsher, and Dia. Today's episode features music by Stateshire and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review wherever you listen and share it with someone you love. Thanks.